Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of items like pavers or planters to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Hello there, boys and girls, and welcome to another episode of Circling the Bases, proudly a part of NBC Sports Edge. I'm your host, Colin Henderson. Joining me today, as always, is Mr. Christopher Crawford. Chris, how goes it?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm just preparing for Bi-NATO. Are you prepared for Bi-NATO?
You're going to have to explain to me what Bi-NATO is.
So Bi-NATO is the worst week for fantasy football in buys that I've ever seen in my entire life. Like every no running back person in the world has to be thrilled right now because every running back is either on injured reserve or on bye this week. Like I saw some people that are ranking like Ronald Jones as a top 10 play in some places.
Oh, because, that can't be true. If you're looking at a site that's got Ronald Jones as a top 10 play, half of the league would have to leave the league Jones to jump into a top 10 play.
It's just about half of the league is out 60, this week.
That's like, a bad one.
There are so many dudes on IR and so many guys who just have a bye week. I have Dalvin Cook in about 55 to 60% of my leagues, and I just have to take the hit, which stinks because he was so good last week. But yeah, I've seen people, some people calling it the Bynerosaurus Rex, some people calling it the Biocane. I like Bi-NATO because, you know, Sharknado is made by, or the NATO thing popular for everybody. But yeah, it's going to be brutal.
Honestly, it does not really affect my teams all that much this week. I know how somehow I've avoided. Last week was worse for me, losing the Niners. That's Elijah Mitchell, who I have in a bunch of leagues. Debo Samuel, who I leaned in on at the beginning of the year. That hurt. I have Kamara in three leagues. That took Kamara out for me last week. Honestly, last week was worse.
This week, not too bad.
This week, not too bad. Like, I'm going to lose Justin Jefferson in one league. I'll lose Eckler and Keenan Allen in another league, but I got the depth. So that's not too bad, but yeah, it's for what annoys me more. And again, is that I've started planning my week seven now. Uh-huh. And I'm looking around, and while the buys aren't, you know, particularly bad for me, they're like nothing for all of my opponents. I don't know how I have picked the one team in all of my leagues that doesn't have to go through this Bi-NATO. And instead, they're sitting like LaVishka Chenault and like Cowboys defense. Like that's their bye week. And I'm like, are you kidding me? How is this possible? I am furious. I'm looking at our projected points, and I've got this in like three or four leagues, and I've got like the most or second most projected points. And the guy sitting there who I'm playing against is one or two. Like it's just a single one of them. It's infuriating to me. I could rant for like 30 minutes on that in and of itself, but we're going to be bringing on NBC Sports Edge's own betting analyst, Vaughn Dalzell, onto the show in the second half to talk a bunch of betting trends in the playoffs and some prop and future bets to look out for. But before we get into all of that, let's just kind of briefly just, we haven't had a show for a week. Let's just reset ourselves for what is the MLB playoffs right now, as it is not going to plan as many people expected. I don't think anyone expected Boston to be hitting three grand slams and that and looking like the greatest offensive powerhouse since the 27 Yankees. And
it's incredible.
I don't think anyone expected the Braves to just be walking off every other night and just celebrating on the field. So it's been a weird postseason. And as we're recording right now, right before it's 7 p.m. on Tuesday night. So we are watching Eastern time. I have to say that. So I just watched Bueller have a 2-0 lead and blow that in one inning. So this has been a weird postseason. And if someone has money out there that Braves sweep Dodgers and that ends up happening, kudos to you, because you deserve all of the money for that, because no one should be allowed to see that happening. Chris, Dodgers were your, like, why are they even playing this? They're going to win it all kind of pick. And you're sitting here now down 2-0 and down, what, I think 4-2 in the game currently on right now?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I mean, I was not sweating before this game, to be honest with you, because I saw this exact same thing happen last year with these exact same two teams.
Fair point.
But the difference being, and the benefit, I thought, it really was that, well, now the Dodgers get to actually play some home games in the NLCS. So this will be easy, but Bueller clearly didn't have his best command. Blew a couple of huge opportunities. Boy, Trey Turner has just been terrible in this postseason. And I don't like saying it, because he's a legitimate MVP candidate for the year. But he's been bad. And then, you know, on the other side of the series, we've got Boston and Houston playing. And, like, the one concern I had, Colin, last week was about Houston's starting pitching and how that was going to hold up. And it's been much worse than even I could have expected. Yeah. Like, real bad. And I have to say, tonight we're getting Zach Greinke. I can't expect anything from Zach Greinke at this point. Like, he just doesn't look like the same pitcher to me, even of last year, where he was a very solid option for most of 2020, which is a weird thing to say when 2020 was so short. But yeah, this has been really surprising. But I mean, Kike Hernandez, what an absolute postseason star that dude has been. Rafael Devers, even with just one arm, has been an absolute superstar. He gets so under-discussed with all of these other young talents.
How many shows have we done where I've stood here and banged the Rafael Devers drum and said, like, why are we not talking about him in the same upper echelon world of every other third baseman? Somehow he is continually on the second tier, and it is foolish.
It's silly, and we keep waiting for him to, you know, he's not a great defensive player, but I think he's been better than we all expected him to be with that portly, I guess you'd say, that body shape. That's the nice way to put it, portly.
He's got a little fluffiness to him.
I believe the kids call it thick with two C's. But he is a heck of a hitter. I think Boston is in a really, it's easy to say 2-1 with you got two home games, but knowing who's pitching these next two games for Houston, as long as they can hold the Astros to like 4 or 5 runs these next two games, I think they're going to the World Series.
Look, it's a lose-lose for me when I'm watching, and really it's a lose-lose for most of baseball when we're watching the Astros and the Red Sox face off against each other in the championship series, one of them winning the pennant. If you're not a fan of the Red Sox or a fan of the Astros, like, there's nothing there that you like. There just isn't. The two teams that have had to suspend or fire managers for cheating.
Not a lot to root for these four teams, to be honest.
Painful. It's really hard. This is one of the least likable Final Fours that baseball has put together in quite a while. There just isn't anyone that, like, has like a fun, young, and exciting team that you're like, oh, look at them punching above their weight. Like, White Sox would have been that this year.
Yeah, probably.
Brewers would have been that. We would have accepted that. We rarely see them there. Like, we would have accepted that. Yeah. Braves, Dodgers, Red Sox, and Astros is none of that. So I hope you're a fan of one of those teams, because otherwise it's like swallowing a big pill right now having to watch some of these games. Unfortunately, we get paid to do so, but it's still hard. I'm still struggling to get in there and sit there for a full 9 innings. Let's move over on actually to one of the things we wanted to talk about today before we get into Vaughn and we talk about the rest of the playoffs. Chris, you had a really exciting opportunity last week. You promoted it last week on our show. You had an exciting opportunity last week to go down to the desert for First Pitch Arizona. So why don't you kind of tell me and the rest of the listeners what exactly that is?
So First Pitch Arizona is an event that's put together by Baseball HQ or Baseball Headquarters, Brent Hershey and Ray Murphy, two outstanding human beings who do a great job putting together this event. And it's basically a 4-day symposium about fantasy baseball. And there are panels all day talking about things from player projections to scouting reports. Actual scouts take the time to come down and talk to these guys. And there are things that are said that should not leave. It's almost like a what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happens at first pitch AZ stays in first pitch AZ. But you can actually talk to scouts honestly about players. I had a chance to do a panel with Eric Cross of Fantrax talking about dynasty strategy and how we go about keeping those leagues interesting and also maybe some strategy for players. And then me and Brad Johnson of NBC Sports Edge, along with Clay Wink of RotoWire, we talked about rookie hitters to profile, and it was just a blast. And it's 4 days. It's a reasonable price. It was a beautiful facility too. And I'm not I'm getting paid nothing to promote this thing. They did it at Sloan Park in Chicago, which is incredible. What they do is they have this hotel that overlooks this man-made water. It was funny. I joked on Twitter about how it was weird to have waterfront property in Arizona looking out on a lake. Yeah. But outside of that lake is the park. So you're either getting a view of the pool and the park, the lake or the park, or if you're one of the lucky few, you get the pool, the lake, and the park. And it's just a spectacular view. The weather in October is so much better than the weather in Arizona for spring training, where you're talking minimum 90 degrees. There's actually a breeze and stuff like that. But it's a really cool thing. If you're into fantasy baseball, take a look at it, because it's I learned a lot as somebody who is skeptical and as experienced as he is. I still learned a ton. All of the big legit fantasy folks who are down there absolutely know what they're talking about. I can't recommend it enough.
So while you were down there, obviously currently going on right now is the Arizona Fall League.
Yes,
sir. Were you able to catch some games while you were down there? Were you able to keep some talent that we should know about?
Absolutely. So that's the other cool thing about this is also they give you 4 free tickets for Arizona Fall League games when you go down there, which is great. I got to take in 3, had to miss one because of a flight, but I had a blast. And the talent there this year is exceptional. Now, you're missing a few prospects that you would have liked to have seen. Julio Rodriguez wasn't put on the roster. Bummer, but we kind of all know what Julio Rodriguez is. But Spencer Torkelson is there. Marco Luciano is there. Brent Beatty, who I'm going to wax poetically about in just a second, was there. A ton of unheralded prospects that really impressed me had a chance to be there. But that's the other reason to go down there, as the price of games is much cheaper. I can't imagine $9 is how much these Arizona Fall League tickets cost. I don't think you could even sit on the grass in Arizona for $9 during a spring training game anymore. Like the prices have just gone up exponentially. And look, I get it, because there's more people at those games, but for $9, you can go sit wherever the heck you want at an Arizona Fall League. But the talent there was really, really impressive.
Look, I'm a Yankee fan. I can't even look at the stadium for less than $50. I don't even have to walk inside. I just have to pass by outside and they charge my credit card. But that's great. So you talked about Beatty. Is there talk about him? Talk about any other prospects that you saw. Obviously, you being our prospect guru here, that's one of our major focuses every single year when we come into spring training is what is going to be the next, who is going to be the next big thing.
Right.
Who is someone out there that maybe you changed a little bit of your opinion of one way or the other that we should know about?
Sure. So Beatty, who I've been calling him Batty, but apparently it's Beatty. He should really be Batty because he can flat out hit, man. Like, I knew from talking to scouts and watching video that this was a legitimate top 50 to 60 prospect. He's probably closer to a top 20 prospect based on what I watched. Like, he absolutely crushed everything he saw. Hit and keep in mind, a triple 110 mile per hour exit velocity. Like, that's not easy to do, because normally if you do that, you hit the ball too hard.
Yeah, and that's going to bounces off the wall and it's going
exactly
to
somebody, but 110 mile per hour exit velocity on a triple, I mean, he sees the ball so well. It's so clear that he recognizes spin real well. On the 2080 scouting scale, I'm thinking 60 hit. Someday maybe 65 to 70 power, but right now, playing it safe, I would go 60. Okay. So you're talking about a guy who can hit 280, 290, and then 25 to 30 homers. There's a lot to like about that. Mm-hmm. Now, only thing, question mark, I have with Beatty, is that I'm not sure this is a third baseman long term. Now, I think that if you give him a shot, there's no harm in it. We'll talk about another guy who's going to get another shot at third base, who is much more likely to end up at first base. So long term, I'm thinking he's a first baseman, but the basket of profile there, if he can stick at third base, this is a potential superstar because the bat is that good.
Excellent. All right. I'm glad to hear that because he's someone I've watched a bunch of tape of in the past. And I like the power, like you said, kind of a bigger guy. Like, I'm not sure if he can stick at the position, but just how invaluable that can be if he is able to stay there versus first base where there's so many more heavy hitters. That would be huge. Tell me somebody else who that you saw, maybe you thought otherwise, maybe drop down your list a little bit.
I don't think there was anybody
that usually throw darts at people.
Sure. Yeah, I know. Tony La Russa wasn't there, so I don't have.
Every prospect seems to have a beautiful, like, Jesus-esque glow around them, you know, from like an old Renaissance painting every time you talk about them.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that if there was one prospect I was not quite as enamored with and maybe leave that he would be dropping down a little bit, which is surprising, is Marco Luciano. Okay. Now that's just because, all right, this is a guy who I thought was a top five prospect.
Right.
Probably dropping him down to like a top 10. I will say one of the biggest reasons why is looking at that body and looking especially at his back, like he is ripped. Hard to see that sticking at shortstop. So I think that move to third base or second base, most likely third base because he has a howitzer of an arm. But, you know, the profile there is the reason why you put him as a top five prospect if you think he's a lock to stick at shortstop, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's that premium position. At third base, you can kind of find bats like this. No doubt in my mind that he's going to be that he's going to be an offensive force. But he's kind of a guy that he didn't wow me. And maybe I came in with super high expectations. Right. It kind of reminded me of like, everybody raved to me as a kid about how American Pie was the funniest movie to ever be made. And then I watched it and I was like, well, that's pretty funny.
That's good. That's a moment. Yeah.
But no, you completely oversold this to me a little bit. But no, Marco Luciano is going to be very, very good. But I was thinking about maybe ranking him above guys like CJ Abrams or Adley Rutschman, possibly. I don't think I'm going to do that based on my look in Arizona. Real quick before we bring Vaughn in, I'll bring up a couple of guys who really stood out that were under the radar. So there's this kid, Joey Weimer, for the Milwaukee Brewers. And I joked with Keith Law while we were watching him play that he looks like somebody who would rob a bank with Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves after the movie. Like he is these prototypical surfer looking dude from Point Break. This kid is 6'5". He's listed at 215. There's no way he's 215. It's closer to like 225, 230. But it's all muscle. And he is tooled the you-know-what up. Like, we are talking about elite bat speed, elite potential for power, superb speed, a strong arm throughout a runner at third, real easy on a first-to-third play. So the issue is the swing is just goofy-looking. Like, it's a really odd-looking swing that you just don't see typically from guys who hit for a high average and for high power. But he's a very patient hitter, and he can just flat-out fly. Like, he is the ultimate athlete. If you're playing in a deeper dynasty league, I would go get Joey Weimer right now because he has that chance to be that before – like, the stock is going to just shoot up, especially when guys finish their reports for Arizona Fall League. I think this is a legitimate top 100 prospect. And the other guy is a guy named Curtis Meade, third baseman for the Rays. Once again, the Rays are so good at this.
Yeah,
guy that the Phillies traded to the Rays for Christopher Sanchez. Yeah, the Phillies are going to regret that one because Christopher Sanchez is basically an organization.
They tend to regret a lot of their prospects.
Yeah, they seem to regret a lot of their prospects.
They tend to regret a lot. Watch when Sixto Sanchez is dropping 12 strikeouts on them next year.
Yeah. At least they got JT Realmuto in that
one.
They
kept him. Thank God.
Yeah, there is no JT Realmuto in this trade, sir. But Curtis Meade, a guy who was signed out of Australia, which is fun because you don't see a ton of Australian products. There's a few, most of them pitchers actually at this point, but really impressed me. A 20-year-old who more than held his own against 22, 23-year-olds, put up big numbers last year, reached high A, I think has a chance to be a really strong offensive player, talking 55 hit, 60 power. A few scouts recommended to me to have him firmly implanted in my top 100 to begin the year. So again, if you're looking for those deeper dynasty plays, Curtis Meade really impressed me.
For those out there who might not be aware, give me a vague ETA in terms of when they might be hitting the majors, just so that if you are in a deeper dynasty league, maybe you just need to know that before you start adding.
I would say So Weimer's got a chance at 2022 just because of the fact that he is already a 22-year-old and how well he's performed in this. I would guess 2023, but 2022 is a possibility. 2023 for sure for Curtis Meade, just because of how young he is and the fact that the Rays have approximately 8,865 middle infield or third base prospects. Like, they're just loaded there. But both of those guys, not really options for 2022, like in a redraft league, but for a dynasty league, I think you're only going to have to wait a year for them to make the contribution.
Well, if he's on the Rays, he might just end up getting traded somewhere, and maybe that ETA moves up a little bit.
Absolutely. They've been.
And then again, we're going
to
talk this entire offseason about the impending CBA negotiations and what does that mean for prospects, because that could change a lot of these ETAs a whole bunch if suddenly there isn't as much of a need for, you know, manipulation of time service and things like that. Though all of those things could come into play. Obviously, stay tuned here. We'll be covering plenty of the CBA negotiations as they unfold. Let's get to the second half of our show. But before we do, all you NHL and NBA fans out there, the fantasy season is officially upon you. So make sure you are signed up for NBC Sports Edge Plus. Go Kraken indeed. Signing up for Edge Plus gets you access to our fantasy football, basketball, and hockey sections, in addition to our incredible baseball and sports betting content. As a reward for our listeners, be sure to use the promo code BASES10 to get 10% off any premium subscription package, either monthly or annually, regardless of tier. So to find your edge, make sure you are signed up for NBC Sports Edge Plus. That promo code again is BASES10.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. Plus, you can buy it online and pick it up in store, getting you outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See store at homedepot.com/delivery for details.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
And now allow me to bring along NBC Sports Edge's own Vaughn Dalzell. Vaughn, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing, Colin, Chris?
Doing well, sir. Hey, I was my end. I was just going to say real quick, Colin, or we were talking about Bi-Nato, the worst bye week that I've seen in football I can ever remember, especially in terms of running backs. And I'm just curious how prepared you are for that, my friend.
Oh man, I am the king of when it comes ad drop running backs right now. Gotcha. I'm in a sleeper league, so I have like Alex Madison. I have all the Bengals running backs, picked up the Browns running back, you know, and I'm rolling with just Jonathan Taylor as my number one. So
nice.
Yeah, it's deep right now.
By the way, Vaughn, is that a candle behind you? Are you setting the This I love this mood setting while we have going on.
Listen, I'm so stressed out right now because I have Charlie Morton under 5Ks, under 5.5, and they brought him back out. They let him hit, and they're letting him go again. And now it's two outs, and he's still pitching. So you guys get me live while I'm stressed, watching the bet, ready to talk postseason, my bets for tomorrow, all that. So, the candles are relieving my stress right now.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, first off, big fan of candles on this show. This show is a very pro-candle show.
Pro-candle.
Very pro-candle. Second, while we watch your live reaction as you sweat out that Charlie Morton bet, let's talk a little bit more about some of your upcoming betting advice here. As obviously the postseason is in full swing, and there has been kind of some very surprising outcomes, especially in this championship series from a win-loss money line aspect. Obviously, you like to put a little bit of money on those K prop bets. Talk us through a little bit of your thinking right now as you're going into the rest of this postseason and some bets that we need to start talking about.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how many people, if you guys have talked about this very often when it comes to the spin rate and the sticky stuff. When it, you know, that was a popular topic early on in the season.
It's come up once or twice.
No one's talked about it.
Yeah, but like lately, I feel like no one's spoken about it. And I'm over here just raking these unders on these pitchers because on these under strikeouts because they're not lasting more than an inning or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and you're looking at, I know you guys talked about Houston already with Lance McCullers down, and that's the stress that's been put on them now. Because they got a bunch of guys like Luis Garcia, Jose Urquidy, these guys coming up that just, you know, are not ready for this moment right now, that can't last more than an inning or two. So it's been pretty easy, I think, to see what to do with the strikeout props. But as far as, like, the games, I mean, some of them have been very surprising, like the Braves, for example. I mean, we saw them do this last year, and then game two, I was on the Dodgers because I was like, this is not going to happen again. The Dodgers will learn from their lesson. They did not. Game three, they get out to the same lead. It happens again. They do not. So, I mean, right now, I have a Dodgers ticket preseason on them to make the NL. I had a hedge after game one a little bit, and I was not happy about that at all. I read an interesting article breaking down why the Braves have a great matchup with the Dodgers. Mm. And when I looked at the numbers a little deeper, it really concerned me for the Dodgers, and that's when I thought about hedging because when you look at what the Braves do against four-seamers, they're excellent. Like, they're fourth best in the MLB when it comes to WOBA. They had the second most homers. And then you look at the Dodgers pitching staff, all their best pitchers love to throw the strike or throw the fastball or the sinker. 42% four-seamer is the third highest in baseball. The Giants only throw it at 28. And you saw what Logan Webb, Kevin Gausman were able to do in the first round. And sure, they got their strikeouts, but the rest of the pitchers we've seen in the playoffs cannot get that high amount of strikeouts. So. Mm-hmm. I think it's really interesting how the Braves have come out. But when you look at the numbers and what they do against fastball pitching, it makes sense what they're doing against the Dodgers right now and why they're getting these big run innings.
Well, that in addition to some sloppy defense that we've seen, some uncharacteristic sloppy defense from the Dodgers and from Houston as we talk about that. Altuve had that double play in game two that should have that he should have been able to turn end a big inning. Instead, it blows up into something way bigger. That's also kind of been a factor. Have you started to see some of that play out in terms of over-under tallies so far in this postseason? Because I feel like outside of that Brewers-Braves series where like every score was 2-1 or 3-0, I feel like the overs have been hitting, especially Boston, I feel like the overs have been doing a pretty nice job so far.
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's been so much offense. I think that's credible to the sticky stuff and the spin rates going down that these hitters have the advantage now. And a lot of these guys are coming into their first playoff series starts or just trying to go four or five innings, and they're not ready for that with the best stuff. So, I mean, it's been interesting to see. You see, like Houston, we were talking about now Zach Greinke's pitching. And that, you know, I did not expect to see him at all. We're probably going to see Tanner Houck for Boston as well. And that's a guy we've only seen in some relief and very limited work because he's a young guy as well, younger than me. And he's going to go out there on a very big stage probably. And, you know, that's a guy I'm going on the under as well. He struck out the Rays, looked good. But that's, you know, that's the Rays. This is the Astros. Totally different when it comes to strikeout numbers. We all know that. But we can't sleep on the Red Sox offense. Like, they've all been outstanding. Like, obviously, Kike Hernandez has stole the show. The Kyle Schwarber addition has been outstanding for them. I mean, I moved to Connecticut within this past month, so I'm 90 minutes from Boston. Nice. So the hype around here has been just building and building and building up over and over, and I've been slowly betting $10 Red Sox versus this team in the World Series, Red Sox versus this team, just for some lunch money. So I am kind of pulling for them, but at the same time, you know, I think the Astros are the better team well-rounded, but without Lance McCullers, that's putting them at a big disadvantage right now because I don't love the Red Sox pitching staff either. Like, Chris Sale is not what he used to be. Rodriguez had a great outing in his last outing, but, you know, is he going to do that again? I have my doubts against that, you know, and they're going to bring Tanner Houck and a couple guys, other guys up. So, you know, I'm really interested, but it's all overs. The only time I bet an under so far in the postseason was the Brewers and Braves series. And that's the score that I hit 5-4 and I had under 8. So,
That was the big ones in that game too.
But all overs. I mean, all overs for the game totals, and then all unders for the pitcher strikeouts and their outs totals, because that's just the best way to approach it. And that's where all the money's been right now.
When you talk over unders, when you look at the potential World Series matchups, is there anyone that intrigues you more as in terms of the over under, or would you say that where all of these teams can flat out hit, so it doesn't really matter?
Yeah, I mean, man, when you look at all these lineups, they're stacked in so many different areas. And like you guys were talking about Trey Turner being down right now, and like, you know, him and Justin Turner as well. He got the stiffness in his neck, so he's not what he is right now. So you see like those guys going into next week or 2 weeks forward. They might be guys that you're just fading in general. And, you know, so that the Dodgers team may not be putting up runs. We saw the Giants be able to hold them to that. But I'm not sure the Red Sox or Astros pitching staffs can do that to anybody right now. And I mean, we talk about how great those offenses are, but would they be that great up against the Giants per se, you know, if they had that staff? So that's an interesting thing because, you know, when you go up against the Webbs, the Gosmans, the Alex Woods, those guys are consistent night in and night out. Compared to where you can get Ian Anderson and tag him easily. You can get Max Fried here or there. Charlie Morton's tough, but those guys you can definitely get. So I'm interested to see where they go, but I think it's all offense now without these pitchers having their stuff, and that's where we got to like look forward for next season too, because if you're not a big-name pitcher, you got to be looking at unders all season long.
Absolutely.
Are there any pitchers remaining now? I mean – are there any starting pitchers out there that maybe
right?
Well, I'm going to ask the question. Right. Are there any starting pitchers out there right now that you might avoid the under on the K bet? Is there anybody left that's remaining? There's, I mean, like Julio Urias exists. I mean, we watched Walker Buehler not live up to expectations tonight. Max Fried has been excellent and has at least been getting some length in there. Is there anybody that you're avoiding the over under, or are you just hammering under for everyone?
I've been considering hammering the under for every single pitcher, every game, doubling up on them. I've done it a couple of games already. I'm doing it on the game tonight. So when this podcast drops, you'll know if I won or not. But I'm on great game. Pavetta's under, both under guys there. Pavetta,
those were some old ones too.
Yeah. 3.5 for Pavetta. I'm comfortable with that. Granky, I knew they were going to throw a super low number, 2.5. But when you look at what the Red Sox have done, they have not let any pitchers get more than 3 strikeouts the entire postseason on any starting pitcher, and only one has made it outside of 3 innings. That was Shane McCallahan, who's a rookie pitcher, or in his first season total, we should say. So it's been interesting. But the guys that I would avoid, so I really wanted to bet Max Fried over 4.5 strikeouts for the last game, and he got 5 exactly. I stayed away because I was a little nervous with the Dodgers lineup and what was going to go on with Justin Turner when they announced him out. So that was a stay away for me. If he was in, I would have played the over. For sure. You have to look at stuff like that. Those little things that give you that one strikeout, or when you're facing a guy like Walker Buehler or their other pitcher. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. You can't hit anything. No.
Pitcher.
You can't hit anything.
Oh, sure.
Scherzer. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that guy hasn't had a hit since World War II. So, you have to look at those type of things too, but there's really nobody that I'm avoiding. I almost bet Charlie Morton's over 4.5, but I saw more value in the under 5.5 and he got 5 exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, stay away from anyone at 5.5, bet their unders, but at a 4.5, you could look at an over, but, if you really want to sweat, get some Pepto-Bismol in your system, that type of thing, then you can do that. I just would say bet an under.
Early betting trends for tomorrow, Julio Urias at 5.5. So that's what I've got right now, at least as I'm seeing on PointsBet. So so there you go. Look at the so peep the under on that one.
So yeah, certainly.
No, I was just going to say, like, we're talking about 4.5, 5.5. Can you compare that to, like, what type of over-unders we would be seeing, like, especially, like, before the sticky stuff, like, for these starting pitchers? Like, just how different is this right now?
Yeah, it's significant because, I mean, it's funny. Someone commented on my post, a couple of my pitchers, just like, oh, he got 9 strikeouts against this team. But it's like it doesn't matter during the regular season. When he does that in April or March, it doesn't matter after June. Okay, but a guy like Gerrit Cole, for example. Gerrit Cole, when he faced the Detroit Tigers, hammer. Sure. My guy's line's 8.5, 9.5. He's hitting that, okay? But then when all this stuff came out, his lines were dropping to the 6.5, 7.5. When he faced the Red Sox at Fenway for the wild card, I was one of the fools. You see a Pirates hat on my head for those who can watch the podcast. You know, I knew Gerrit Cole didn't have his best stuff leading up to that game. His strikeout number was 6.5. And I said, you know what? If Gerrit Cole goes 5 innings he hits seven strikeouts 80% of the time, whether he has his good stuff or not, because he's that good. But you could see when he doesn't have his stuff like he did leading up to the end of the season, mm-hmm. oh my God, the difference in the pitcher. But there's a lot of guys. I mean, there's not really guys that you can say are that dominant without all the sticky stuff or that dominant post that, like Jacob DeGrom, for example, when he's healthy, that's a guy that's going to get a 9.5 or 10.5 number. You can take that. His number's never dropping. You're never getting a discount on Jacob DeGrom.
Right.
Even whenever he's pitching 4 or 5 innings, his line's at 7.5. So that's the type of guy that he is. But, yeah. You know, we've seen major drop-offs from Zach Greinke. He had 4 or 5 strikeouts begin the season, then he can't get more than two or three for the end of the season. He becomes a relief pitcher. So we've seen a lot of drop-offs like that. But for Julio Urias, like you were saying, he's going to get the start at 5.5. I went on an insane run. The first half of the season, I might have made, I think it was 5 or 6 units for the first month and a half or two months. Okay. For someone that's as prideful as I am, betting as profitable as I want to be, it's embarrassing to me. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to really dig in and find some trends. One of the best trends in all of baseball was the Atlanta Braves facing left-hand pitchers. Mm. At one point in the season, 23 of 25 left-handed pitchers they faced went under the 5.5 strikeout number. And that's the number you just said.
Wow.
Okay, and this is postseason baseball we're talking about now.
Yeah.
And he just came in relief in the last game as well. Sure. That's a clear under. So, I mean, that's a no-brainer for me. It fits the trends. It fits the baseball script for postseason. It fits the sticky stuff narrative, lefty, all that. So, you know, all those things helped. And that's why now I'm at 40 units. So from postseason after, you know, over 30 units of profit. So it makes a difference when you find those trends. You could just ride the Braves versus a left-hand pitcher, no matter the name, because the number is that number. It's just interesting stuff like that.
That is interesting for sure.
So now as we're looking, I mean, again, we're recording this at, what is it now, 7:35 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday night. NLCS Game 3 is going on right now. We have ALCS Game 4. Is there – which one of those in Houston and the Dodgers, both of them who came into these series as betting favorites, now as betting underdogs, which one of them do you think has the best chance – that you might want to latch on for some positive numbers and try and get the upset in the end?
Yeah, I think the best bet is definitely just riding the Astros and hoping that they can pull it out with enough offense when they face Chris Sale and these type of pitchers where they can just dominate.
Sure.
You know, I have a preseason ticket on the Astros at +950, so a $50 bet to win a little bit over 400, which is – I'm obviously riding that right now. I'm excited for it, but I feel – like it's a 50-50 bet right now. But when you're looking at the Dodgers, I don't think there's much value there unless you want to throw some pizza money on them right now to come back. Because last year I did do that and it worked out in my favor. You know, they were down 3-1 and won 3 straight games.
Yep.
Not very likely a lot of teams can do that. But, you know, in the situation, if you want to burn some pizza money, some beer money, that type of thing, I think, you know, it is worth that type of bet because they do have the Max Scherzers and those type of guys that can go out there. But not having a guy like Clayton Kershaw, which I didn't even speak about, you know, just his postseason experience has definitely hurt the Dodgers too in the long run, right before the postseason started, because he was looking good leading up until his final start. But I think Houston's the team that you would put confident money in to try and come back in the series. I think the Dodgers are worth the pizza money. But I honestly think one of my friends texted me 2 days ago and asked me, what should I do as far as long shot futures? And I said, I like the Braves on the upset, man, maybe like in 6. And, you know, maybe that could happen, but it's really not looking like they have a chance. So I'll just say that I think Braves and Astros happen. But, you know, the Red Sox do look pretty good. I'm going to hope my bet works out for the best.
Right. Well, it seems like you're winning one way or the other because you got a ticket on Boston and you got a ticket on.
Well, once money bets, they work out.
Yeah, they are not too bad. And also, we don't need Clayton Kershaw anymore. Corey Knebel is now the essentially the de facto ace of that staff. That's all that really matters.
Yeah.
Clayton who? That's what I say. Vaughn, thank you so much for popping onto the show, man. It has been an absolute pleasure. Please follow Vaughn at VMoneySports on Twitter. And make sure you're following him all for the rest of the MLB postseason, as he'll give you plenty of good betting advice.
Colin, Chris, thank you so much. Any advice I'd give anyone today? Bet the strikeout unders, baby. Let's roll.
All right. Hammer them home. And if if it's great, then make sure you write to us and say you're glad you had him on the show. If it's awful, then write directly to him and let him know it's all his fault. But that just about finishes up our show for today. If you like what you're hearing, make sure you are subscribed to Circling the Bases wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to rate and review us. 5 stars. Make sure you go over 4.5 stars on that one. You can follow me on Twitter at Kyle Don't Lie. You can follow Chris at Crawford_MILB. And like I said before, you can follow Vaughn at The Money Sports. Be sure to tune back in on Friday morning as DJ and Drew cover all the fun happenings around the AL and NLCS. So make sure you don't miss it. So until next time, stay safe out there. And as always, thanks for listening.
Over under on my love for Dom Smith is infinite.
Over.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same day delivery on thousands of items like pavers or planters to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.